We're going to call to order the Shore Acres City Council meeting for Monday, December 9th, 2013, at 7 p.m. First order of business is roll call.
Stephen Jones, present.
Bob Bunker, present.
Matt Weber, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Mike Weider, present.
And Nancy Chanel is absent. Item 2.0, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, everybody. Good evening. The next item on the agenda is special presentations, but for the record, I'd like to make it known that Nancy Chanel is now present at the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Good evening. The next item is 3.0 special presentations, and item 3.1 is Harris County Sheriff's Office proposal to provide law enforcement services in place of the Shore Acres Police Department. Mike, would you care to make an introduction?
Yeah. This issue was brought to my attention by one of our citizens. At first glance, it didn't seem to be that plausible, but as done some research and spent a little more time talking about it, this is something that, in my mind, would give the city some flexibility with how we spend our money. And as everyone here knows, we've gone through some significant issues with our budgets and our funding and this type of thing. So I was asked to bring this up so that the citizens and the council could be made aware of options that the city has. If you've noticed, there is no, I've not asked for any action to be taken on this item at this time. This is merely a presentation so that everyone could be up to speed on what the county has to offer. So at this time, I guess we could turn it over to our sheriff. We'd like to start the proposal.
Great, thank you.
Sheriff, before we get started, I'd like to kind of make sure everyone's on the same page. When we run our city council meetings, we typically have the council ask questions and then open it up for citizens' comments after council has just finished asking their questions. If that's all right with you, that's the way we'd like to proceed. So with all due respect, please.
Sure. Great. Mayor, thank you, and members of council, thank you for this opportunity to make this presentation before you. First of all, let me just say that I appreciate the consideration that you're giving your citizens by looking for cost-effective models to provide public safety in the Shore Acres community. To that end, the Harris County Sheriff's Office has had a long-standing process, a program by which we refer to it as the Contract Deputy Program. We've done this and do this with a number of communities throughout the greater Harris County community, and it's true value added for the neighborhoods that we have worked in. It comes with the full weight of the Sheriff's Office. It comes with the full weight of the Harris County criminal justice system. And to that end, what I have worked to do with our program over the years is make sure that it's value added, make sure that we address the issues that are of specific concern to the residents of the communities that we're working in, and that we work to make sure that the programs are transparent and that we provide all of the necessary information that communities need as we work through these particular relationships. To that end, the Sheriff's Office and all of its programs brings with it a contingency of communication services, crime prevention, nuisance abatement, gang enforcement, our tactical operations, and obviously all of the other respective resources that the Sheriff's Office comes to bear, emergency services and the like. I introduce to you, present to you rather, John Dice. He's the Chief Administrative Officer of the Harris County Sheriff's Office. runs all of my administrative operations, budget, and otherwise. A quick backdrop to this particular program, and I think the resources that it can provide to you is that, number one, it's a program that would be dedicated to your community. It wouldn't be shared or bled off with any other respective priorities that we have, but rather, as I mentioned again, it would come with the full support of the Sheriff's Office and the peripheral programs that we work through. We have really enjoyed a good relationship with all of the areas that we work within. This is timely presentation for you because, as was the practice in years past, where contracts would be done, you know, throughout the course of the year, the budget office now addresses these contracts and the request of these contracts on an annual basis. So March is up the upcoming time for such a contract to be considered. So I hope that we can work with you with any information you need so that you can make an informed decision. To that end, if there's any questions, we're happy to answer them.
Okay. I believe that there was an amendment to the numbers that were given to council at this time. If you'd like to bring that information forward and make that correction.
There were corrections to the numbers because I was given, I was told it was 100% contract, not an 80-20, and there was also errors in the Shore Acres budget, but those are all being corrected on this form. I gave it to David Stahl over a week ago, but he didn't add it to your agenda, so I want to make sure you guys have the correct numbers.
Thank you.
So if you'll disregard the previous one on there.
Very well. And this gentleman, your name, John Dice?
John Dice.
Did you spell the last name, please?
D-Y-E-S-S.
Very good.
Thank you. I'll give you my card.
I appreciate that. Appreciate it very much. Currently, I believe they made mention that we're looking at and or the presentation and the numbers are based off of 100% contract. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The new one that you passed out, I think that's 80-20.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
This is 80-20 this year.
So this is 80-20. I would appreciate for future consideration that if it's based off of an 80-20 that I get a perfected sheet to eliminate any type of confusion for consideration. I don't believe I have any other questions at this time. I'll open it up to council for questions.
What exactly is this 80-20 relationship that you're talking about here?
Essentially, it translates into 80% of the time that the officers are on your contract are dedicated to your specific community. Theoretically, 20%, if we need them somewhere else, that they would be pulled to that. But the reality of it is this is a unique contract in contrast to others that are out there. So this is something that we would work with you through to make sure that it's something that would address all of your respective needs.
Sure. A question does come to mind. Just out of curiosity, should we have an agreement in place, and Harris County Sheriff's Office deputies are patrolling in our area, and they do perhaps make an apprehension, do they take them into the LaPorte jail or would they go to the Harris County jail?
It depends on the issue at hand, but depending on whatever the circumstances are, we could use your resources or, you know, depending if it's a misdemeanor crime or a Class C offense. If not, we could, you know, do some direct booking and continue with it that way. But if you've got resources here, I'm not familiar at all with all that you have, but we could work through those issues and make sure that the resources stay as close to the community as often as possible.
Very well.
Sheriff, let me ask, you said numerous communities that do this with Sheriff. Could you just give me a couple of them off the top of your head?
Most of the MUD districts use us. Some of the schools use us. We have over 102 contracts. Copperfield is a big one of our big contracts. We have everything from one or two deputies in a contract to 20 deputies in a contract.
Okay, that raises another question. I'm working a line. Give me a second.
Fair enough.
Okay. Now, if we're talking 80-20 split, so if you're, let's say, are you averaging two deputies or one deputy for this area? Let's say you have a hostage situation in the general area or a school, something involved where, you know, we're going to need ample officers in different areas, traffic and whatnot. Then how does that leave the city unmanned? What do you do for that if our citizens are sitting here?
If we need resources elsewhere, you mean, or something?
Yes, yeah, so let's say something goes on off of 225, you've got a major or something out there, and you have to pull those officers for traffic control. That leaves the city unmanned. How long is the city going to be unmanned without a unit somewhere in the district, within the city limits?
You know, it's
I know it's hard to get.
It's hard to, yes, you know, really talk through that. But the reality of it is that, look, we got almost 1,000 patrol officers,
yes,
in the greater Harris County area.
Yes, sir.
And so we don't think we'll have to pull. We typically don't pull from contracts to deal with those services or right, those issues. But the flip side is just the same. If there's any contingency that you get here, you're going to get the full weight of the sheriff's office at the contract price.
Yeah, we have our own SWAT. It's called High Risk Operations Unit. So if there was a barricaded suspect or a hostage situation, right, all those resources would come here.
Okay, thank you.
And one of the things that I would like to see is I would like to have an idea of what communities of the 102 contracts are most comparable to the situation or the size of our city and population density. Roughly. Yes, sir. That's 14 and some change to a close to 15.
Right. So should I email that too?
Either myself or I'll provide you with my card here momentarily. But I'm sure council would be interested in obtaining that data as well.
Okay.
I've got a question. Are all of your officers also sheriff's department deputies, first responder trained and
yes,
certified? Every
yes,
single one?
Yes.
Okay, because that is
they're
a concern.
All TCLO certified. They're all full-time police officers.
I mean, are the first responder as far as medical? Because we contract with Clemson and their response time is not excellent. And, you know, we just had an issue here a few weeks ago where one of our reserve officers received an accommodation for life-saving because he saved the gentleman's life.
Our guys get the first responder training.
The first aid?
Yeah.
Okay. And do your units come with defibs, AED device, AED devices?
No, not all of them do, but that's something we can work with.
Okay.
Again, knowing the nuances of whatever is of particular concern, we'll make sure that this is a value-added program to you.
Okay. Because, I mean, we don't need things like gang intervention, obviously.
Thank goodness.
There might be a few pumps here or there and yonder, but, you know, that can be handled in-house. Typically, on a patrol, within your contract, let's just say in a city of our size, or a large city, is it just going to be one deputy? Would it be one?
I think that's just open to
five.
It was the one structured this for was one lieutenant, one sergeant, and five deputies. But that can be structured in so many different ways because do you really need a middle manager as a lieutenant who typically has four sergeants and 100 deputies when that would automatically come out of a Wallaceville substation?
Right.
You might need a direct supervisor, which is a sergeant and six deputies, which would bring that price even further down.
And it's all subject to negotiation.
Steve, do you have any questions?
So with that, what's the coverage? What type of coverage, Jim? I think practically speaking, when I hear a number six, I'm thinking on any given hour, how many officers, daytime, nighttime, weekends?
I guess if you allow me to, usually when they do these council meetings, they have city our public comments first, and then they do the presentation during the amendment. That was actually changed. If you guys give me 5 minutes, I can tell you pretty much what I laid out, and then I'll answer some of these questions for you.
Sure.
And I provided those numbers for you, and it suited the budget. And that's what brought me here. First, I don't represent the Sheriff Department tonight, or Harris County. I'm a private citizen who lives in this community. And being to several of these meetings and watching our budget, I have concerns. But I don't like having problems without trying to find possible solutions. And knowing the sheriff department, I've been there 21 years. I've worked in with this contract program as a supervisor in Patrol District 1 is very heavily contracted and Patrol District 2. And so I want to talk a little bit about it and bring, you know, people to tell you more about it. But if you look at your budget in 2012 to 2013, that's what your, in the first column right there, that's what that budget was, 606. But by the projected end of the year, you guys are expecting to make $684,000, which is what your budget actually is. Right, that's going to be the last page. You have four columns there.
So we're operating off of the amended package?
Yeah, this is the budget that was posted on your internet. And so I have to use your numbers and I have your numbers.
I'm talking in reference to either this set of information or this
the
set.
The one I gave you today. Right.
And this is
disregard the previous.
This is the 80-20.
This is the 80-20. That third column is a what you guys proposed to be the police budget next year of 535-539. And then you have an HCSO contract, which I have is 558-832, but that includes all your budgets that you have your police stations, such as maintenance, janitorial services, that kind of stuff. I left all that in place. You've got a brand new building. I don't think you guys want to get rid of it. Okay, so you know, if you do this, you may be able to contract that out with us. But if you look at your budget, you were $77,000 over what you proposed in 2012 to 2013. You cut down that budget $70,000 from the original budget this year, or $148,000 for the projected end of the year, is what you guys are trying to do. But if you look at your current rate of spending, what I think your budget's going to be is $613,000 on top of what your budget is, because you're going to have over-budgeted items. Stuff that you guys cut out this year were vehicles, which I knew you were supposed to purchase two this year. But eventually that's going to have to come back in the next budget. Things you cut out are going to trickle back into your budget. So they're short-term solutions of what you have for this year, for the budget. Looking at our contract, there's no over-budget costs because a contract's a contract. We're still going to cut $47,000 from your original budget that you had in 2012-2013. It's still cutting $125,000 from your end of your projections this year. And if you take your cost of spending over budget that you did this year and added it to what your proposal next year is, we're still going to cut you another $54,000 on our budget. And those are real numbers. The 80-20 contract, like you said, there was 80% of your time here. My experience is those deputies, when they're on duty, they're here. You know, you guys say we have to take our deputies down or to the Harris County Jail. There's a misconception of how that is done because if a Shore Acres officer has to take him to Harris County Jail, he has to go downtown. As a sheriff deputy, I take him to one of the outlying jails, which is right here at Wallaceville. It's 17 miles away from this location. I don't have to go all the way downtown, so it's quicker, it's a turnaround, it's faster. I'm also an employee there. I don't have to get in line with the people that are not employees. So it's a lot quicker for those kind of services. And like I said before, this can be structured in so many different ways. I structured this with a lieutenant, a sergeant, and five deputies because that's kind of what you already have in place here with a chief, a sergeant, and five officers. But we know so far we've let go of a chief, we let go of a sergeant, and we had an officer resign. There's only four people working right now, with one of those positions not being filled in this budget. With this kind of contract, you're going to gain all this back instantly. Other issues that we're having here, it's your dispatch services that you contract for, your jail services, your chain of command issues, your supervision, your out-of-date policies. I believe it was 1997. That's been instantly fixed because we're a CLIA operation. Your training issues with getting your guys a training. Our guys are coming more highly trained. And you know that 80-20% that pays for the training as well. Unanswered IED complaints they have in the city, those will be solved instantly. Record keeping, bringing in an ARS system. That's our automatic reporting system and our computer databases that are in our vehicles. It brings the technology here all with this contract. So you would have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to fix. Evidence handling, some of the issues you guys are having there will be fixed instantly. And of course, updated technology. There's really no reason for us to duplicate service in a community like this. And I grew up in California, and the Sheriff Department actually contracted with municipalities, not the subdivisions. And it wasn't uncommon. You would have, you know, Shore Acres Division is what that agency would be called, or that division would be called. And that's what kind of gave me the idea here, you know, that we're a municipality, we generally deal with HOAs, but if it's saving us money, we've got to be fiscally conservative for our citizens. You guys were talking about doing tax raises, and I was voted down, thank God, because we don't need to raise our taxes when we're having other issues. We got to balance the budget.
Let me interject to ask you a question. On these years, like 2012, 2013, I'm just trying to figure the numbers here in the top of my head. Was that added in the additional officer they had hired and the additional all the overtime they had during a situation we had where one officer was dismissed at that time?
That 606-236 was taken directly off your budget that was on the internet for all your services, payroll, everything was already in there. Okay. And so unless you took them out of that budget or out of that budget, I have no way of knowing it. Okay. Just what was on that.
All right.
And I'll tell you another thing. This is, I guess I'm coming at this as an economic standpoint. But I also understand there's a sentimental attachment to police departments and officers who work here. Troy is a personal friend of mine. He's a Shore Acres officer. He's a veteran police officer. I don't want to take his job away. Okay? There's ways of saving those jobs. We have a lateral transfer program if they're eligible to be hired. That's a possibility. There might even, through negotiation, they might even be able to come back in this contract. That's something that the sheriff department would have to negotiate. I can't do that, but there's ways to do that. We don't want to, you know, get rid of these officers, especially with years of experience. They're tied into these communities. You know, they know everybody. They know where people are. They know where the cars are. You know, we want to save those jobs. But I think we can do it fiscally responsible. Anything else? Any questions?
Does the savings that you have here, does that include the jail services, the dispatch, and other outlay?
All that comes with that.
It comes with it. It's a package deal.
And like I said, there's other ways of structure. On the first page, that's what it costs for, you know, the percentages of that lieutenant at 100%, 80%, or 70%. Because typically, it's a 70-30 or an 80-20 that most people do.
So basically, we can structure this anywhere we want to. As you said, we don't have to have a lieutenant. We can take that position and make it a patrol officer.
Yes.
And, of course, then the cost would go down from that.
There's another point that you here. I'd like to provide this to you. These are the local government codes and some of the things that came up. Because you guys have a court system built here. Local government codes allows our police officers, if we're in contract with you, to actually enforce city code and city ordinances. And so you can keep your ordinances in place and your courts in place because they're just going to write the same case but out of your court. And you don't have to rebadge or reel. And I have all the local government codes for the type of contracts going on with us as well. And I know that was a main concern. And so you don't have to eliminate our county clerk office or the city clerk office.
On the information that we're currently looking at, I'm seeing that the 80, this is based off the 80 coin contract. I'm seeing the number, let's call it projected as the year 684,114 as far as the City of Shore Acres expenses for the services that are listed. And then the Harris County Sheriff's Office contract at 558,832. Taking 20% of that worst case scenario number, I'm coming up with 547,314. That's 100% coverage by the City of Shore Acres for our city as it stands. So the way I'm looking at it, it doesn't really appear to be a cost savings. It looks like we're substituting 80% with 20% off for 100% service that we currently enjoy. And then down here at the bottom, it shows the 100% contract is $686,789, where even if we run that up against the 684,114 0.34 for 100% coverage, that really does not appear to me to be much of a savings at all. Looks like a bit of an increase if I'm looking at the numbers correctly. Am I correct in that?
And I believe you're coming off the 535 or the 614. That's after your budget was cut, and that's before you have to put your budget back into place. So I said the stuff you cut out of the budget now is going to come back.
I'm not arguing that. I'm using the projected end of year number that you have at the end of your spreadsheet, 684,114, under police department totals, and that is a 100% coverage of our city, as opposed to what we have proposed here, which is an 80-20 contract, which I believe the numbers are based off of that particular estimation.
Paul put this together, but let me just say before we get into validating the numbers one way or the other. If you would like to proceed and kind of crunch the numbers, we'll be happy to work with you on that to make sure that you know exactly what numbers you're looking at, what goal you want to try and get to, and then find out if there's a cost savings for you in terms of the dollar amount. The one thing that I would want you to think about in terms of where there is savings, irrespective of how you construct the contract, is that number one, I heard the issue of patrol cars. Your contract comes with patrol cars. The contract covers your medical, your pension. Your contract covers the overtime. Your contract covers jail services and other peripheral support services, communication, training, all that. None of that comes out of the need to request new dollars or anything of that nature. That's a structured package deal. All of the infrastructure with the police services would come with that. So in trying to decide what kind of coverage you want, it may be a wash, there may be a savings, there may be an increase, but there's other peripheral costs that come with the contract. At a fixed rate. I mean, so you just have to look at it that way. But I'd be happy to sit with you to, you know, make sure we're comparing apples to apples, and then, you know, you can decide whether there's a savings to that or not.
Very good.
Also, you asked about coverage. Can you tell us what hours a day you want to cover, days of the week?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. If you pick, let's say you had them all work 5 days a week, Monday, 8 to 5. We would pick up the calls then in the evenings.
Are there any other questions from council at this time? If there are none appearing, we'll open it up to public public comment and question. Are there any questions from the citizens at this time? Yes, sir.
Kendall Pickett, 322 Seagrove. We have a brand new police station across the street. Would your officers operate out of that facility?
Yes, make good use of it.
And would there be room to negotiate? We lease that facility too?
I think so. I mean, we put everything on the table.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Daniel Woodruff, 7574 Miramar Drive. The presentation was lacking in some details. It sounds like some of that was given to council beforehand, but I hear words like value added, but I didn't hear any real specifics on what would be offered to our city, just that everything's on the table and everything's value added. But a specific question would be that currently right now, if a citizen contacts the city hall and says, gosh, there's this red Mustang at 3 o'clock, it's always speeding, and the city administrator lets our police department know, and that's what is focused on. My concern would be that sheriffs are going to feel more inclined to answer to the sheriff's department and not to our city directly. That's one of my first questions. My second would be nothing's a fixed cost. What percentage of your contracts that you have right now, I'd like to know what the increase is over each year for, say, the last 5 years.
Let me start with your first point first. The relationship would be with Sheriff's Acres. The response and the customer service commitments would be to the community here. And that's the way we work all of our other contracts as well. There's a commitment. Our dispatching services are geocoded for those particular areas, so we make sure that those resources are there. The officers respond to the community meetings, and there's an intimate dialogue between the two programs, between the deputies and the communities that we have those contracts with. In terms of the increase in the contracts, those increases are set by Commissioner's Court, not set by the Sheriff's Office. And so over the years, I think actually the increases have been nominal, but we'll get you that information as well.
There was one other thing to add about the contract typically has a security coordinator who is our go-to person inside of your organization. So if it reports to the city council or somebody in the office, that would be our person, and they would relay everything to our sergeant or lieutenant or whomever has control of the contract from our office.
And then let me just go back to the point of value added. I don't know the particulars of how you pay for insurance and when there's pension costs and those things. That comes with your contract. So those there are, and then the equipment, the training, all that's a part of your contract. It doesn't. We don't say it's time for training and you got to pay us some more to go train the guys. It's a fixed cost as per the contract is. And then in the future, we work through those issues and there's costs that work out with Commissioner's Court. That's something that they contend with. We this is a program we manage, we provide, and we work with the community on.
So if I understand, I just want to clarify that they're understanding what you're saying. Say it's negotiated this year, it's going to be $600,000 a year. Then every year after, the increase or decrease would be set by the commissioner's court. So now there's no control over it by the community, is what I'm basically hearing.
There is control. You can always get in or out of the contract as you choose, and the control of the cost that's set by commissioner's court. The negotiations would be by the commissioners, and but if the community decides to go forward with the contracts as they are, I mean I imagine you have some of those circumstances today, and so those are decisions your city leadership has to make.
Are there any other questions at this time? Yes, sir.
Kendall Pickett, 3220. I recently moved down here from Precinct 4, and we were in an area where we contracted out with the constable's office. So I would like to ask the council to consider also looking at negotiating with the local constable's office so you can compare two different prices and services.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Jerry Picker, 3346 Miramar. We talked a little bit about the 80-20. And I'm looking at county hours. Looking at what we have now, we have a chief of police, temporary. But he's not here 72 hours a week. He's probably here 5 times 8, 40 hours a week. So he's only here a half percent of that, okay? In this mix of percentages, would the city at any given time have nobody here?
No, I don't foresee that.
Okay, even with 80-20?
Even with 80-20.
There'll always be somebody here day and night.
Okay. That's perfect.
That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions? Yes, sir.
Thanks, Sheriff, for coming tonight. It's a real pleasure. A couple of questions. One is, we're a small community, and we basically have a community police department, sort of like the old peace officer days. And your department is obviously very well qualified, but it's more of a law enforcement type today versus a peace situation. Can you tell us the difference? I mean, will your officers? I mean, like I know these guys by first name. They drive around our city every day. Is that going to be the same sort of policing you anticipate for us?
Without a doubt. And if that's your question, I'll answer. If not, okay. Without a doubt. And let me tell you that one of the nicest challenges I got with the contracts that we have is whenever we would rotate for days off and shift changes as seniority improved and things of that nature, I can't tell you how many letters I get and phone calls I get about don't move Deputy so-and-so. He's the best. He's peaches and cream. Our communities love the relationship that they have with their deputies. And as it was mentioned, I don't know who you have on staff. but we'd be happy to consider, and if it works out, keep the folks that you got to the extent that we can. So we'd work with that. But ultimately, one of the things that we have focused hard with our contract program is to make sure that that the deputy and the community have a true relationship, that they're there to support, they're there to enhance the quality of life, they're there to contend with the issues that are of concern to the community. And, you know, by virtue of the phone calls and letters I get, the neighborhoods love their deputies, and whenever there's any issues, we deal with them, because we ultimately want the customer happy.
Are there any other questions at this time?
Yes. Are there any, to your knowledge, any municipalities that have a standing police department in place that you guys have gone in and contracted for?
No, this would be the first time that I'm familiar with.
Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
With your permission, just because I think it was going to be fair, I just wanted to give the opportunity to Chief Matthew if he had any questions or comments, or if that was going to be addressed during his report. But this seems like an appropriate time. If I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, well, I'm always on the spot.
I don't believe that is inappropriate at this time, Chief. If you would, unless there are any other questions by or from the community. There, yes, ma'am.
Terry Fresco, 1-4. You know, I wasn't here when the hurricane came through, but I've heard stories, and it was a really, really bad time for this community. And from what I understand, the police officers were amazing. They were here 24/7. This would be an example of a situation that could occur, and with the backing of the Sheriff's Department, we would have so many more people at our disposal. And I think we've been very lucky that it's been, you know, from the stretch of time from the hurricane till now, that nothing bad has happened. But this world's not going to get any nicer. And I hope Troy Acre stays just the way it is forever. But let's be realistic. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I think that having more people at our disposal is definitely the way to go. That's just how I feel about it, though.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other questions at this time? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had two more things, kind of listening conversations. One, I know you guys also have a warrant issue. I think you guys said $1.8 million of warrants sitting back here in the world, and you guys just went to SETSIC, and I remember conversations, and that's going to happen. One of the issues you have is, like, if we hit a Short Acres warrant right now, and I was in Tomball, I would have to meet the Short Acres officer and turn that prisoner over to him. That's a long way. Where if this was a contract, if a Short Acres warrant gets picked up in Tomball and taken to my substation's 5 minutes away, and eventually all that comes back here where it's supposed to be. So, you know, that's a big revenue building. I know we're not in for that, but it's an issue. The other issue was talking about having a police officer all the time. Currently, Mondays, 3 to 11, Short Acres Police Department does not cover this city because they have four officers and they can't do more than 12-hour shifts. So it's already happening. We got to solve that.
Are there any other questions at this time? With that appearing, Chief, did you want to take a moment to address any issues that you feel are pertinent?
Yes, I know we're not going to make a decision tonight. And the sheriff's right and a large regard, but I want you to consider, number one, that I got this today, this information packet. No one contacted me about it. No one's contacted my officers about it either. So I just want to introduce that thought that future negotiations, or at least research, we include the department, the men that are out there right now, that quite frankly are right around here thinking, well, I may not have a job tomorrow. They're in the dark. Okay? We talk highly about them, but we need to keep them involved. I would also include them in your research. They could probably help you with some cost-cutting ideas, if all. It's idealistic to a large degree, somewhat realistic about lateral entry. The sheriff's department vetting process may be different. The sheriff indicated he doesn't know what type of calls for service here. The particulars, it's just here's what we can do in generally speaking, but we need to nail down the particulars. We're also nailing this down when we're in the process of hiring a chief of police. But I'd like to go on record while everybody's here. If you read my report, I did not articulate in any fashion that we disband this police department. It's not in writing, it's not anywhere else. I merely raised the issue because I think it would be remiss if I did not, because we were, you guys were undergoing major budget considerations. That's the only reason why I brought it up. I think that's the only reason why the sheriff is here, is because of the cost-saving factor. Only. It has nothing to do with performance. The reason why we're down a man from 3 to 11 is because he was terminated. We're under appeal. So we're two people down. There's a reason why this department's been, the history it has for so long. The financial structure issues today are different. I understand that. But I think it's a little too premature. But the timing here, I question, because we're in the process of hiring a chief. Who in their right mind would want to come here, or any place for that matter, when you're talking about contracting with somebody else? Now, that was a good question that you asked the sheriff. That's what I was going to ask outside the door here. If we timed our exit right, was how many other municipalities do they contract with? This will be it. I'm a little leery, again, by being the first of anything and today. But I think it's a worthy exercise. I question the timing of it. I'm not in favor of it. But I think if we all get together, do the additional research and nail it down, because he's bringing the sheriff's department, which he would do anyway on a major catastrophic event. We're talking about changing services with Harris County. We get that same sister sharing city with LaPorte, Seabrook, other areas around here. So, yeah, we don't have murder rates and robberies where we have to go downtown to Harris County Jail. 99% of our arrests are right next door. So we have to look at, would they contract with LaPorte the way we do? So that's consideration. But that's pretty much all that I had at this point that I could, you know, realistically discuss.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from council or at this time? Are there any other questions from citizens at this time? Without hearing, we'll...
Is this,
yes.
If we have public comments, is this when we do it, or do we... Is there another time
for that? There will be a public comment period under item 6.0. We're currently under item 3.0.
Okay.
So we've not gotten to the public comments at this point.
Unless you want to comment on this subject.
Actually, I do. Okay. Hi, I'm Lisa Clark, 413 Baywood. I've never done this before, so if I do it wrong, I'm sorry. I also found out about this just a couple of hours ago, and was pretty concerned. And I'm glad to hear that we're all talking about budgeting, because that's where my biggest concern is. You know, Harris County, and thank you for being here. I think you somewhat glamorized by being here, especially considering that, you know, you're the largest in Texas and the third largest in the United States, and we are looking at bringing you aboard. But having just an hour and a half or so to do a little bit of research on the internet, it looks like 18,000 local law enforcement agencies have undergone some sort of consolidation. I'm sorry, there's 18,000 in the U.S. 150 have undergone some sort of a consolidation. And of those 150, the city administrator always started seeing the cost cutting. Every one of those, and I can provide y'all with the details of that if you need, every one of them over a three-year time period had said that it is not the height that it says to be. That within that three-year time period, they wound up losing money, the crime rate went up, and I don't know if that's going to happen here, but that was an hour and a half of Googling, and that's what I came up with. And again, I'll be happy to share that with you. Talking about budget, I guess I want to ask the council, is this the only thing that y'all have looked at to reduce our budget? I mean, we have two or three, and I'm sorry, I don't know the budget like everybody else does, but we have two or three big ticket items. One's our police department, the other's our water. Have we looked at contracting through LaPorte? I mean, my goodness, we could at least pay electronically, which we cannot do here. It's aggravating to me. We have lots of, what I consider, lots of personnel. I don't know if that's something that we've looked at. So I guess I'm just asking y'all, if y'all do look at this, please do your due diligence and then do a little bit more. I work for Memorial Hermann, Corporate America, if I was to make these budgeting mistakes, not only would my contract not be renewed, but I would be walked out the door. Looking at all these budgeting problems that we have and have had and are continuing to have, and everyone talks about our great building across the street. If I was to build a building, or say I do a big project at Memorial Hermann, if that fails, I'm out. And we have not done that, or at least to my knowledge, we've not done that. So I ask that y'all please look at the person or persons who are making these budgeting errors or misjudgments. I think that's all that I have to say. Thank you.
The police building was free. It was from a grant. It cost nothing.
Okay. You can tell me that later.
Any communication needs to be to council. No intercommunication between the citizens police this time. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Darlene Bates, 616 Baywood. I'd like to ask why Chief Massey just now got it today.
Should I answer that?
Sure.
Okay. Went out of town Friday. I believe that's when the agenda was posted. But I know the conversation didn't, the subject matter didn't exist Thursday. So, also our city administrator's been out of town, I believe on city business, because it was part of this week. So
that's correct.
It's just a small communication part.
Yes, sir.
I did provide this to the city administrator over 2 weeks ago, just for the record.
Thank you. Are there any other questions at this time? With none appearing, we'll move on to the next item. Sheriff Garcia, thank you very much for your attendance. Chief Dice, I appreciate it. All the contact information was in the packet that was provided earlier. If you need more, I can. Yeah. I'll be happy to provide you with any information that I received as well. The next item on the agenda is item 4.1, regular council meeting of November 25th, 2015, approval of minutes. Council has had a chance to review those minutes. I will entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of November 25th, 2015.
One second. We have a motion and a second. That was Rick and Mike. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, motion carries. Item 5.0, special reports and requests. I do not have any meetings to report on at this time, unless council has any.
Just one thing. I know that I had asked Chief to kind of report to us on some speeding issues on Country Club, and he did give me a report and was sick with the flu. The whole family was down with the flu last week. And oh, okay. Well, okay. I'd ask him to be taken off.
Oh, okay, it's on there. Didn't make the cut. Right. Was there anything else that you had?
No.
You had
to add? Very well.
6.0, public hearings, public comments. At this point in time, we will entertain citizens' comments. Anyone wishing to address council may now the time to do so. If there is anybody who would like to have say their piece, now's the time. Yes, ma'am.
Darling Bay, 626 Baywood. It's not a complaint, it's just an observation. I get to go to the mayor councilman's dinners quite a lot every month. I know when Richard Adams was on council, he attended and represented Troy Acres, and we have no one that's doing that now, so it's kind of sad to see that all the other cities are represented by their council, even if it's one or two. And I'd like to see that churches maybe look into that and at least have somebody to represent.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wish to address council at this time? Yes, sir?
Jerry Victor, 3346, Miramar. I have a question about the status of water plant number one. It's been out of operation since Hurricane Ike. Has been on contract to be repaired. It should have been repaired first time by December of last year. and then it was amended to March of 2013. Does anybody notice this? When that will be repaired? That's the first question. And has the contractor been paid? This is a $1,300,000 contract. And I know I'm addressing probably the wrong people, but I would like to see these answers published so we know when the water plant is going back online. Now, I live where I live. In the last 2 years, there's been two houses burnt down completely because of system failures. First system failure was inadequate water pressure. The second system failure was the fire department showed up without adequate hose. They didn't have enough hose. So they called in another truck bringing more hose. So we're having system failures in our fire response, and I'd like to see that addressed by council in the future with the fire department. Thank you. Do you have any comment on that?
Thank you, sir. During the public comment section, I'm sure Mr. Sutton will be able to address your concerns perhaps in the public works portion of the meeting. Are there any other public comments at this time? Yes, sir.
Stephen Jennings, 17 West Forest Avenue. During the budget negotiations and various workshops, at first the city, I suppose, requested two public works vehicles to be purchased, and then Mayor Weber cut it to one, if I recall correctly, in your budget that you proposed. And then in subsequent budget workshops, either Alderman Bunker or Moses, both were involved. And they cut it to zero, with the stipulation being that they would put into service the former police car Expedition. It's been sitting there for 3 months. Since every bit of that. So my question, or my observation, I guess, if I can ask questions, my observation is that the city didn't need the vehicle, obviously. It's still sitting there. So why was that ever proposed? And you know, will there ever be, I don't want to say this too critically, will the council at some point acknowledge that the city it's spending too much money? I guess that's my observation. Clearly, that vehicle wasn't needed because it's still sitting in the same spot it was when we had that discussion that night. And that's all.
Thanks, Chair. Are there any other questions at this time? Concerns or comments? Yes, ma'am.
I'd just like to comment on what a good job Public Works did last with the Christmas party, that, and our ladies, of course, at the party. It's a shame that there wasn't a little more attendance by our city council. I think it's a good opportunity for everybody to meet who don't have the opportunity to come to council meetings, but there were more kids than I've seen in the last 5-6 years. And then the Public Works at the trailer looked really nice with the garland and very festive. The gazebo was beautiful. So thanks, guys. You made a lot of kids really happy.
Are there any other questions at this time, yes, ma'am?
Charlotte Willis, 3342 Yonmark. Do I have to stand up?
Okay. You're fine. Thank you.
I just want to make council aware. I know there's been a lot of discussion, and it's being discussed in the court tonight about some proposals to protect us from all future storms. I say that a little cynically. There was proposed right after 2008, it was actually January 2009, something called the Ike Dike that was floated by lots of people. The governor spent quite a bit of money, or gave 13 counties money to investigate this ice dike. And then the Speed Center, which is Jim Blackburn and Rice University, have also talked about something a little bit different called the Centennial Gate. And if y'all aren't familiar with that, I recommend highly that you learn about it. I don't have all the answers. There's lots of problems with both of those things. But Shore Acres is in a very vulnerable position. What they're talking about is building 146, new 146 up higher, and that would be the dike. And then they would put a gate in near Barber's Cut, And as a third grade teacher, I just say water's got to go somewhere, and here is where it's going to go if we get another storm surge like that. And a lot of people have said, oh, this isn't going to happen, we don't have the money, blah, 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 blah. Well, we've talked about the insurance problem, and I read up on that, and those of you that don't know, that came from the Restore Act, which came from the BP fines. And so there's a lot of money out there, potentially even more money. So this is something that could happen. It's something that I see as, it's a very complex problem because water does have to go somewhere. And ICS is the sacrificial area. And I don't know what to do about it. One of the things that's been discussed is having a pot of money so that if people are flooded, that land could be purchased at fair market value, the insurance would pay for the houses, and then that land would just stay, which is not something we want to see. But if this happens, that's what we're looking at, and I want to make sure that pot of money is there. And the other question I had, there have been rumors as we've talked about this that our city administrator was approached by FEMA, and that people were asked if FEMA asked if people in Miramar would be willing to be bought out. And I was told, and again, this is pure rumor, I haven't heard anything specific, but that was never brought to council or the citizens. I would like to know if that was ever proposed. But anyway, beyond that, everybody in the community needs to think about this Centennial Gate. And LaPorte tonight is telling their citizens that they vote for the Ike Dyke. I see it's not an either-or. Definitely not either-or. There's lots and lots of options. But it's something we should be very aware of. Thank you so much, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other questions or comments at this time? Yes, sir?
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. This is a comment on the proposed buyout by FEMA of Miramar property that one of the citizens here, which I will give you the information later if you want it, became knowledgeable of this proposed buyout. He brought it to my attention while I was on council, and I brought it to the mayor's attention for a resolution. And it never went further. If you want more details, I can provide you with details, but it wasn't kept hidden from council. My understanding was the mayor and one other council member was aware of it, and it was supposedly a buyout offered by FEMA right after Ike for making the waterfront property public property. That's about all I know about it, but I can provide a little more details.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions at this time? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. After Ike, you know, all the land and all the houses that are kind of torn up and all that are still just sitting out there, do you know if, I mean, I'm just curious, do you know if they're foreclosed on or if, I mean, you have to look at the whole, all the houses, but I'm saying overall, are they houses that are foreclosed and on and they're just going to sit that way forever, or does anybody have any idea? Because, you know, I've only been here a year, but nothing has changed on any of these lots. They're just going to sit there.
I would be happy to forward your question to the city administrator after the meeting is concluded. If you would get with me after the meeting, I'll be happy to do that for you. Are there any other comments at this time? With not appearing, we'll move on to administrative reports. Mr. Stahl is away at this time, so we will not be having the general activity or the emergency dispatch service update. However, we do have item 7.2, Chief Massey, for your monthly police call report.
Does everyone have a copy of the report for the month of November? Any questions? A little bit more detailed as far as the breakdown, but still within the parameters of what we originally had before. But what I wanted to also discuss on this report, which actually is a request on advisement, is what Sheriff Garcia was here about. And if you're serious about this decision to make, I would urge you to do it expeditiously. the holidays, as you're aware here, I would advise you to put off interviewing for chiefs of police until you finalize this decision whether you want to go with the county. Because I think it would be counterproductive, number one. Two, just blatantly unfair to the candidates, the applicants, the citizens. You know, a suggestion would be survey your citizens as well. You might be surprised what you receive in the manner of feedback. They may have certain expertise and something that could assist you with your decision, but I would urge you, for example, seeking a police chief. Last week I was on the phone with the 100 Club trying to seek body armor. I mean, I need to stop what I'm doing until that decision is made, because it's counterproductive to what I'm trying to do as well. So if you're in a plant and you're going to have a shutdown, you obviously notify the plant manager, notify the safety people, and the guys who will work. And I think that's where we are at this point. So that's just a suggestion. That's all I have.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions concerning the department report from council?
I would just like to tell Chief Massey and pass it on to the officers. My husband and I were out of town out of the country for a bit of time, and they did an excellent job doing a post patrol. I even got a text, which is just what you want in St. Lucia on the beach, from one of the officers saying, "There's a black sedan in your driveway." It's like, it's okay. That would be my son's friend. That's his roommate. It's all good. So, I mean, that is part of the thing that we just really appreciate.
That's the ownership part of it, that you would lose to a certain degree until, if you stay long-term and you're guaranteed, and there's no guarantees in this, that you'll have those same cops that you have and they're not taken off someplace else. There's a reason why no other municipality has that. So they're going to bring the entire brigade on a major issue regardless. Okay. So you're already currently sharing information and services right next door. And they have a relationship with those people as well. So just something to consider. But in all fairness, you need to, I know the last thing you want after your budget hearings and meetings and workshops is another workshop, but I think time is of essence. Do the workshop, make the decision, and move on. So for your citizens. So they want to know, believe me.
Chief, I want to make a comment, and I'm speaking for the council, speaking for myself as a councilman, to your officers. My understanding, you have four officers on patrol, correct?
Correct.
All four of those officers have handled the load, with one being terminated under appeal, and the other one resigning, stepping down. Not one of them is calling in sick, have they?
That's correct.
Well, I commend them.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you.
Now, I've been here since September, and no one has called in sick, or they stepped up to the plate.
Well, they have, and I think they need to know that.
They can't take off.
Right.
I volunteer, I'll come in, but I'm limited. My contract is I can't wear a uniform. I'm limited in what I can do. What I can do right now is move towards getting the things that they need, just about finalize those policies, seek out the 100 Club, other MOUs, that kind of thing. And then if they get a call, which I do now, which requires a backup, I get in my truck. I have to show people my badge, but introduce myself, and I'm their backup.
Well, I'll thank them for it.
So it'll be a working chief. It'll have to be. And you're absolutely right. I commend them for it, and they're not complaining either. But, they like to be with their families, too, and they can't take off because they know they're shorthanded and limited. But they're doing it.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. Before you head out, we had on the agenda the reports and recommendation for speed control in South Country Club Drive. Do you have anything to report on that?
Preliminary information. I haven't reached out to the Tunis yet, but Alderman Bunker was ill, and David Stahl did some research as well. Very appreciative of that. And the state law, what we can't do, and the reason why it's that thick is, and we highlighted it so you can go right to the. To the dog ears, so you can cut right through it. What would apply to shore acres? The reason why one street is 20, one is 25, how we change it, advisory signs versus speed limit signs, and we could stick 1,000 signs on that street, and they're advisory signs, but they're not enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just a mere suggestion. If you do this, you might get killed. So that's pretty much where we are at this point. But I think it's a lot to digest. It's just not willy-nilly do it. And but at least we'll have the background, because additional issues could surface, bless you, that you'll at least have the background to tell the citizens, no, I can't do it because state law says no. So sometime in January, the next meeting, maybe we'll have
that. Yeah, I'll go with you.
Okay.
Are there any questions from council at this time, our chief? There are none appearing. We'll open up to citizens' comments. Are there any questions from citizens at this time?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
David Jennings, 1017 West Forest Avenue. A couple things. First, your report wasn't online, and the council packet that's available to us. Could you summarize that for us?
This report here? It's
calls, rapes, burglaries, happening in the city?
No major crimes. Essentially, it's cell phone theft. Had one drowning, one death. Officers investigated. Chambers County actually came here. We assisted them with it. The guys did a great job. Animal calls, barking dogs, suspicious circumstances, open doors, assist other agencies with traffic stops and arrests. So basic quality of life issues. If there was something
maintaining our community.
Absolutely. As what you alluded to, this is not murder, rape, robbery, and those kind of things. It's quality of life issues.
Right. My next question then would be a statement I made earlier that the city is unprotected on Mondays from 3 to 11. Can you elaborate on that?
No, there's an officer right now working. It's a reserve. The officers have changed their shifts somewhat. I'm here till 5 on Mondays. But I had the sergeant before I came here was coming on at 10 o'clock in the morning and leaving at 6 in the evening. I didn't need that. It didn't make sense to me when you made your calls for service in the evenings and your sergeant's coming in on the daytime. It was convenient. So I moved it to 3 to 11.
But we're still protected.
We're still protected, yeah. That's not correct that there's no one here. There's a reserve only to run out to 11 o'clock and you've got your night shift officer coming on. Yes.
How long is that sustainable, working 12-hour shifts?
I don't know. My studies have indicated it's the worst shift that you could have.
Yeah.
It's the most cost-efficient. 8 hours cost you more, 10 not so much. But most of the shootings, trauma that happens on 12-hour shifts are in the last 2 hours of that shift because they're fatigued. As you know, this is a fatiguing business. But it's in any business, the last 2 hours. So,
because 12-hour stuff for our emergency shifts, that's 12 on, 12 off.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable for long.
No, they've been doing it, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'm concerned about that.
Absolutely.
They know it. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to make a comment that I felt like it's not your fault you didn't get that paper till today, because as you said, it was presented to David Stahl 2 weeks ago. You're not at all,
so
I don't want you to think that.
Oh, no, well, thank you. No. You know, and I was raised, and it was hard for people to understand, too. I don't pretend to know everything, so you don't feel like you're obligated to tell me everything.
I mean,
that's what people get paid for, and sometimes, by the circumstance, you're out of the loop. I mean, I don't need to know everything, but something like this, just timing is an issue, particularly when you're trying to find a chief employee.
Are there any other questions at this time? With no appearing, we'll move on to the next item, 7.3, Monthly Club of Works. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate your report. Mr. Sutton. I do not believe we require your presence any further.
Okay.
You'd like to head out, you're more than welcome.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Mayor, before I begin, I got my call about 10 minutes ago. I've got a contract late, so I'm going to try to make this as quick as we could.
Thank you.
water purchase dropped again this month to 5.6 million gallons compared to 6.5 last month. That number is going to be pretty much leveled out here over the next few months. During the winter months, we'll average 4.5 to about 5.5 million gallons per month. similar to last month, there were no special projects to report on. As I stated last month, we have started water and wastewater classes for our employees. That'll continue on until about mid-February. I made a decision, I guess all of you will know now. We're going to be sending a phone call out by the Blackboard Connect. We'll go to all of our students in regards to recycling. Recycling is normally done on Tuesdays and finished on Wednesday mornings when we go to La Porte. Next Tuesday and Wednesday, and the following Tuesday and Wednesday is Christmas Eve, Christmas, and New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. We are not open. We're going to be doing recycling on Monday morning of both of those weeks so that we stay on top of that. I don't want any of the guys to have to try to pick up 3 weeks worth of recycling. So we are going to do it on that Monday. And that message will go out probably this Thursday. So all of our citizens get a hold of that. That's all I have.
Thanks, sir.
I do want to comment real quick on your question. With your permission, I'd like to be able to answer that tomorrow. I was on vacation most of last week. I know there's some emails that have come through and some new updates. I don't know what those are just yet, but I'd like to look at those this evening and in the morning. I can come by and see you, or you can give me a call, and I can certainly answer those questions for you. I do know we have an update. I just don't know what that is right now.
I actually do have an update on that particular agenda item. As far as the lift station, the engineer of record for the city has engaged in communication with the contractor that they have bypassed or gone past their punch list date. Notification has went out to the vendor that they are in violation, and we will start fining them every day after when the punch list is not completed. So there's been communication with the vendor. I don't know if they've been completely paid off yet. Typically, you would see some sort of percentage of retainage that would be paid out once the project is 100%, which at this point it is not. I can't speak to whether it is at that point, but I do know that the letter stating the intent to recoup our losses after, I believe it's the 20th of December, but I'm not 100% certain, has gone out to the vendor. So, and I believe it's to the tune of $500 per day. So that's where that is at, and I know you were out. You probably were not made privy to that, but I expect yes. You will be soon.
Yes, sir.
Father, yes, sir.
The information on how much money has been issued to the contractor would be interesting, because if we issue the bulk amount, 95%, he's got no incentive to complete the job. So I'd be interested to find out what percentage of the contract we issued to the contractor as payment rate.
I don't have that information at my disposal right now. Are there any other questions for Mr. Sutton at this time? With no appearing, we'll move on to the next item. Thank you, David. I appreciate your assistance. I do not believe we require your presence, so if you would need to leave, that is absolutely fine by us. Next item on the agenda is business 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices. Does council have a chance to review invoices? And if so, I will entertain a motion at this time.
I make a motion that
we
pay our bills.
Second. And all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? If not appearing, the motion carries. That brings us to item 9.0. And before we head out of here, I'd like to say thank you all very much for all the hard work you put forward this year. I don't believe we'll be meeting again until January. And with that, I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and I hope you have an excellent New Year. And with that, we stand adjourned at 2014.